I want to talk for a few moments, and I've been meaning to do this for some time and just haven't found the time to do it, but we need to, and it's an important opportunity to talk about the journey to Jesus. What in the world is the journey to Jesus? Well, I want to describe it a little bit for you. I want to commend a little brochure that was written by one of our very own members who has been through the journey to Jesus process. And I would encourage you to jump into the journey to Jesus process if you haven't already. I was talking with a couple of folks recently about why I think at least they should jump into Journey to Jesus. And it occurred to me that I want to encourage you as well. So many of you have already been through the Journey to Jesus, and we want to recognize all those today who have completed all four steps of the Journey to Jesus. And by the way, if none of this is making sense to you, I'm going to back up in a minute and describe it, okay? But there are two rites of passage that we mark when people go through the Journey to Jesus membership and discipleship process in our church. But the last two, though, are kind of ongoing rites, and they include the rite of baptism. And you know that when we baptize someone into Christ's church here, we also give you the opportunity to renew your own baptismal vows. And in a way, you get to do that every time you come in and go out of the sanctuary here at Epiclesis because of the baptismal font. The final one, the other ongoing rite that we observe as believers here at Epiclesis, is that of communion. And so that is an ongoing rite that is observed every single time we gather because we gather around the Lord's table each week. Some years ago, my mentor, Robert Weber, was having a conversation with some folks who were big leaders in the Seeker Church movement. And they were talking with him privately about their concerns that there wasn't a really good way to integrate people into the life of the church. They had a heart for the seeker, but they realized, at least some of them, that the way they were going about the discipleship process wasn't working. They weren't building, they weren't growing deep Christians. And Dr. Weber got thinking about that and realized, as you have often heard me say, that the world we're living in today looks an awful lot like the world of the first few centuries of the church. Back then, there was no Christian memory. Because the Christian endeavor had not yet taken off, they were living in a very pluralistic society where almost anything goes, and it's really cool to believe in all kinds of different things. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And we're living in a time now that is post-Christian, at least in my opinion, where the Christian memory is disappearing. And Bob began to compare the world of today with the world of the first few hundred years of the church and discovered that they also, in the early church, were interested in the seeker. In fact, that word seeker is a second and third century word. They actually used that word. But what they did then was bring people into the life of the church in stages. And they did so because they wanted to emphasize belonging and not doing so much. Belonging, because they believe that belonging also shapes belief. And belief and belonging go together and create a church where the folks are thoroughly catechized. Now, that's a big word that basically just means discipled. And so Bob began to look back into Christian history and found this fellow named Hippolytus. And if you're interested in Hippolytus, you should read sometime about the very interesting way that they would bring people into the life of the church. They would come across somebody out in the highways and byways of life who wanted to come into the life of the church, and they would link them up with a mentor. And that mentor would work with that mentee, that catechumenate, and teach them about Jesus and the story of God. And would begin very simply with Scripture. And although we do not have the canonized Bible at this point in history as we do now, they would work with them on God's big story and what it is that the church believes. And there were several steps to the process, but as Bob began to work on this and develop it for today's church, he came up with four steps that the church could use to not only shape belonging and not only, say, teach discipleship basics, nuts and bolts of Christianity, but also form community and at the same time teach people how they can also be disciplers and mentors to others who might come along and participate in what he called the journey to Jesus. So the thing to take away from that is in the early church, discipleship was not a class, but a process, and it took time. And in the early church, it could take up to 2 or 3 years before you were welcomed into the life of the church. And you were, especially in the weeks leading up to Easter, really they laid on the instruction and discipleship. And then on Easter Sunday morning, very early in the morning, you would be baptized and you would receive your first communion. Those four stages that he identified were the seeker period, then a hearer, then a kneeler, and then the faithful. And another thing that he did that was also used in the early church was to say, it's important for us to mark those passages for the whole body to understand that folks are along this journey and kind of take note of where they are in the process. Now, when we were putting together the discipleship process in the early days of Epiclesis, we thought, yep, that's exactly what we want to do. Because it not only links us with our Christian past, and after all, we do ancient here at Epiclesis, it also is really good for the right now because it speaks to the postmodern person, and it helps folks get oriented toward the future, that which is coming. So it seemed very ancient future. But we also said a couple of other things that I want you to hear from me loud and clear. And that is, we affirm that anyone in the whole wide world is welcome to worship with us here at Epiclesis. And there's not any pressure at all about going through the discipleship process to become a member of the church. We'd love you to do it. And there are some good reasons why, and I'll share those here in just a moment. But we said that anybody in the world who wants to can worship here at Epiclesis. But those folks who feel a calling of God to put down roots, as I like to say, put down tent pegs and say, this is my church, we ask them to step through the Journey to Jesus process. Now, back a few years ago, when someone would arrive at your church and say, I want to be a member of the church, the people would walk the aisle and they would say, this is Mr. and Mrs., what'd you say your name was again, Smith? And they want to be a member of the church and all in favor, and they'd vote and they were in that day. And you could have a pretty good notion that those folks, if they were coming from a sister Baptist church, had been thoroughly catechized and knew Bible basics and so on. We don't have that same confidence these days, do we? Because there are a lot of competing narratives out there. A lot of competing beliefs. And we want to get to know somebody really, really good, and they us, before we welcome them into the life of the church. It was, I believe, the philosopher Soren Kierkegaard who was looking around him one day. Now, this is back in the 19th century, right? And he's looking at all the wonderful advancements, technological advancements of his day, gaslight and horse-drawn carriages and all these things. And he began to despair, he said, because the church had not kept up technologically. And he said, what have we done? We've got to keep up with the age. And then he said, I came to my senses and realized perhaps it's maybe time for us to make things hard again. So I don't think it's a bad thing that there's a little bit of a process to become a member of the church. I think that's a good thing. But I want to encourage you to think about doing the Journey to Jesus if you haven't already. And here's a couple of reasons why. First of all, the Journey to Jesus is a wonderful way for you to get to know another Epiclesis member really, really well. We have some marvelous folks in this church, and many of them who regularly take on Journey to Jesus mentees form lasting relationships. And if you are a Christian believer and you don't have somebody in your life that you can share some scripture with and be accountable to on a regular basis, that's a good thing. The second reason that I'd encourage you to do the Journey to Jesus is not because that you would be in some sort of special club. There's not a special Journey to Jesus club and that you get a decoder ring and a special thing every year from the pastor. It's nothing like that. We don't ever want to be a church that's us and them. We're all together in this venture. You hear me? But it's also a wonderful opportunity to go back and pick up some basics about what we believe. And though it is very simple, the first book is mostly just the Gospel of John. It's a wonderful way to learn new treasures and insights about Scripture. And frankly, it works the other way around. The folks who are mentors tell me that they learn so much from the people that they are working with along the way. Another reason that I think it's important to consider going through the Journey to Jesus process is these days you hear people talk a lot about going to a particular church, but you don't hear so much about people saying, I belong to a particular church. And I think that's important. If you haven't gone through the Journey to Jesus process, I want to challenge you to think about going through the process so that you can say, this is my church, and I belong to it, and it belongs to me. And I am entering into a relationship with a church that is mutually accountable, which is really what we are all about here, being the body of Christ and being accountable one to another. So as you consider this, I want you to take a look at this little pamphlet, and I brought several of them today, and it is a brief overview of the Journey to Jesus. Inside is the personal journey of somebody who went through the Journey to Jesus process. One of our church members wrote a precious overview of what it was like for them to go through the process, what to expect, what's it like. And I want to encourage you to do that because it's written by somebody who went through it firsthand. And there's a little description at the bottom. Just this last week, I met with another person who is going through the Journey to Jesus with a mentor and encouraged them along the way, and they are excited about embarking on the journey. And if you think you'd like to, come get one of these from me here in a little while, okay? And we will get you linked up with a mentor. It's not like you don't have any say-so in who that is. We'll suggest some folks and maybe get together and see if we think that might work. It's something that you do at your own pace and according to your own schedule, and we'll try to get you started. There are four books, there are four steps, and there are four rites or rites of passage that we will affirm along the way. One other thing I wanted to mention, we have not up until now ever said, hey, all of y'all, and that's the, what form of grammar would that be? Third person, East Tennessee plural, all y'all who have been through the Journey to Jesus, I want to ask you to stand here in just a second. So if you have completed all four steps of the Journey to Jesus, I'd love you to stand. One other thing that we realized we had not ever done, you write your name in the roll book of the church, it's step two. But we've never had a thing to nail down at the end and say, I have finished the Journey to Jesus process. And we have made some really nice certificates here that if you would like one, love you to have it. Take it to your mentor and they will fill in your name and they will sign it and also put down the day that you completed your Journey to Jesus process or today's date if that's as okay with you. So we have some certificates of completion if you have been through the Journey to Jesus process. Now, if you have been through the Journey to Jesus process, would you just stand, please? All y'all. Okay, good. And those of you who are thinking about the Journey to Jesus process, you can go talk to one of those who have been through and say, okay, was it all that? Do you think I should do it as well? And they will encourage you.